And now as we approach God's throne, will you bow your heads with me one more time as we ask God to bless. Almighty Father in heaven, our gracious, wonderful Lord, we ask that you today will be glorified. We ask, Lord, that you will be honored and that we will be changed. May we behold your glory again, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a very famous line. It is the line used by nearly all playground bullies. What are you looking at? Have you ever heard that before? Bullies seem to always start their conversations that way. What are you looking at? Now, I know it will come as a surprise to all of you, but I actually had to deal with bullies growing up. I know this is pretty shocking to think that a bully would try to mess with me when you see my current physical stature. But you have to remember that I was much skinnier when I was little. So I guess I appeared as a target to bullies on the playground, but I never backed down from them. Never wanted to. So I dealt with that question, what are you looking at? And I never really found the right answer. I don't know what you're supposed to say back to a bully when they ask you. So I tried to come up with the most confusing answer I could think of when they asked me that, or the funniest. And pretty much they just walked away confused or laughing and left me alone. Then I also befriended the biggest and baddest dude on the playground, and that pretty much took care of the bullies too when he was on my side. But even though it is the opening line of the bully, the question, what are you looking at, is a vital and poignant question for us as Christians and for us as we start the new year. Now, Jesus Christ, of course, is not a bully, but he is concerned with what we are looking at, what we're focused on. And today we celebrate something that Jesus put together, a service that he instituted that would guide us in what we look at. So if you would open your Bibles with me to our scripture reading today, or click on your pad or pod or tablet, whatever you got with you, find those precious verses. In Luke chapter 22, we'll start in verse 14, and let's think about what we're looking at today. Luke chapter 22, verse 14. When the hour had come, Jesus sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, "With fervent desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Jesus conducts a religious service with his disciples, something that would be done over and over and over again for the next 2,000 plus years. And Jesus starts it at this moment, on this night. The Lord's Supper is all about what we're looking at. It's a very simple service, isn't it? Jesus chose an event that we do every day, several times a day, eating. And he chose that event as a way to teach us. And if you notice, it's something that even young ones can learn, because Jesus used something very simple. The simple symbols of bread and juice Jesus used. But though the service is simple, Jesus uses that simple service to explain the vast, the profound, the amazing truths of salvation. In the Lord's Supper, Jesus also directs his people to what our eyes should be focused on. He used communion to point his followers, first off, to the past. Read with me in verse 19. And Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." It's the curse of humanity that we forget. We forget even important things. Is that right? Should see all the husbands shaking their heads. Yes, Pastor. It's the truth. We do. We forget the important things in life. But Jesus wanted us to make sure that we would never forget to look back to the event that started it all, to look back to the past, to the only event to look back to the only event that can save us, the cross and the resurrection. Jesus says in this service, look back. But not just looking back in this service of communion, Jesus pointed his followers to look for help in the present, right now. The bread and the juice, as the little one said, represent Jesus. They symbolize his body and his blood. And he instructs us in a symbolic way to take Christ inside. Because in this service today, we take that little bit of bread and that little bit of juice, which are just symbols. But we consume them. And then through the miracle of the digestive system, those emblems become part of us, part of who we are. And in a symbolic way, Jesus wants us to know that he is with us. Look with me at verse 20. It says, likewise, Jesus also took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Jesus wants you to know in the service that he is an ever-present help today. His blood is shed for you, for our sins today, for our mistakes. For it's the power of the cross that washes us clean today, but he doesn't just wash us clean. The power of the blood can give us the power to overcome sin today, so that we no longer have to be slaves to it. The greatest power in the universe is at your disposal today to deal with your sin. Jesus is present to help us, to live in us, and to change us right now. But not only does communion offer a chance to look back and to look to what Jesus is doing today, but it tells us what else we should be looking for. In verse 18, he says, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Jesus says in this service, look back to where it all started and look for help today, but remember also that help is on the way. Amen? This amazingly simple service points us back to the present and then also says, look to the future. Help is on the way. Jesus Christ is coming back. Amen. One day, Jesus will come. And this service is a promise that he will come to deal with sin so that sin will be no more. No more sin. One day, death will be no more. Disease, heartache, despair will be no more. This new year is only 5 days in, and yet I've already received text messages and emails about death, about pain, about hurt. In just 5 days, this service reminds us that one day it will be no more. We drink this juice today, and Jesus says, you may drink it, but I will not. I will not drink it again till I come again, not until I can drink it with you. So as your tongue tastes that little bit of juice, as you swallow, remember that Jesus is returning. He is coming to deal with the problems of this world, coming to deal with the problems of your life. He's coming back to have a drink with you in the kingdom made new. What are we looking at today? Are you only looking at the amusements of this world? Are you only looking at your problems, just at the mountains before you? What we look at makes all the difference. It was years ago when our son Ethan was a brand new baby. Sorry, Ethan, but I got to show him. It was our pride and joy. Cute little guy, wasn't he? One afternoon, Ethan was sleeping on a blanket in our downstairs living room. Jeanette and I were relaxing on the couch when suddenly I jumped up to my feet and froze. With eyes wide, Jeanette says, what's wrong? Staring over at our precious baby, I tensely declared, I'm going to need your help. There, on Ethan's blanket, just a few inches away from our precious baby boy, was a wolf spider. Now, I know some of you today are probably thinking, what's that? What's a wolf spider? And so some of you may not know exactly what a wolf spider looks like. And so, honey, I would never do this otherwise. I would never do this, but I know there are some people out there thinking, wolf spider, is that a spider with a wolf's head? Is the pastor just making up some mythological creature? No, it's a real thing, so I would never show this, but for the sake of the sermon and for the sake of the gospel, I have to show them what a wolf spider is, what was just a few inches away from my boy. There it was. This isn't to size. It wasn't this big, actually. But to my wife, I think it was. So there it was, just right there by him. And Jeanette reacted, like she always does, at the appearance of an eight-legged visitor in our home. Sheer terror. Michael, kill it! I said, I can't. If I go for it and miss, it may jump on Ethan and bite him. You have to grab Ethan first, and then I'll smash it. She said, what? I can't. Said, you have to. There's no other way. If you haven't guessed by now, Jeanette is terrified by spiders. So she looked at her eight-legged nemesis, and then she focused on her son. And then with a burst of adrenaline, she jumped forward, snatched Ethan up into her arms, and like a bastion of courage, proceeded to run up the stairs, screaming the entire way. Leaving me behind to fight the beast. It all came down to what Jeanette was looking at. If she would have kept staring at that wolf spider, she would have been frozen, paralyzed by her own fear. But instead, she focused on her son. And looking at the sun made all the difference. What are you looking at today? Are you only looking at your problems? Are you looking at the wolf spiders in your life? Or are we willing today and in this new year to keep our gaze focused on God's Son, on the author and the finisher of our faith? Looking to the past for the forgiveness of sins. Looking for present help today to overcome sin. And looking for our Redeemer to come again. In the service today, Jesus tells us, whatever you've been looking at, whatever you've been distracted by, stop it. He tells us, look at me. Fix your eyes on me. And we'll make it. We'll make it together. Let us pray. Father in heaven, in this world it is so easy to be distracted, to look at other things, to focus at other things, and to take our eyes away from you. So again this morning, Lord, we renew our commitment to you, to keep our eyes focused on you. Lord, in this service, remind us again of what you've done in the past. Remind us again that you're right at our side, and remind us again, Lord, that you're coming soon to be with us. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. And all those willing to keep their eyes focused on God said, Amen. Amen.